God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mess that up. All right, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. All right, anyone can use the chat. If any newcomers do join us, anybody can use the chat function to send their phone number to the newcomer. Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have our own Amy Kay, and we have Al J. from the Buckingham Group.
Nancy's here.
Okay. Then we have Nancy C. from Ann Arbor, and still Al J. from the Buckingham Group. And I will put up and read the first paragraph, which is taken from on step 10 from page 84 of the big book. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Section 1, page 84, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the path. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effective. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And Nancy, would you like to share first? We traditionally do a ladies' choice type of format for the sharing, whether the lady in the panel would like to go first or go second.
Okay. Am I unmuted?
Yes, you're unmuted.
Okay. Hey, I am so sorry for being late. I have this on my calendar for 8, but I was here last week on time, wasn't I?
No worries.
I'm Nancy. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 5th, 1985. I have a sponsor. I do sponsor my sponsor, sponsor, my sponsor, sponsor, sponsor. So I've been around the program for a long time, but it's always good to be at a new meeting and meet new people. You know, I have this ism. I think I qualify. I'll qualify real quickly. Like everyone, I never fit in my own skin when I was growing up. The why I have this disease, I don't know. It really doesn't matter anyways. I mean, I could analyze it to death just like we all have. But really, the end is that I've got a problem with my head. You know, alcohol was my solution to my problem. And really, the ism between my head and the insanity that I had, alcohol was a rapacious creditor, like it says in the big book, that really had me from the very beginning. You know, it started very early on trying to fit in with people and finding alcohol as being the nice way to fit in and feeling like you belong, because I never did belong. You know, I don't know about anyone else, but I always had a hole that I know now is God. I was searching for God, but is what I was trying to do was fill up that hole with anything, liquor, drugs, food, you name it, anything that could go in there to make it feel better. And I had that instantaneous, every time I put something in my mouth, it just for that 30 seconds, man, life was good. And I chased that feeling for years. And I had to chase it every time I'd start drinking. You know, once we start, we can't stop. And once we stop, we can't stop from starting again, because I wanted that feeling that I had the first time I picked up a drink. I still remember I was 13 years old, and a friend of mine always talked about her escapades and drinking, stealing liquor from her parents. And so she was coming over to my house. So I had gone into my parents' liquor cabinet and marked all the bottles. I kept taking a little bit of gin and whiskey and bourbon and vermouth and God knows, after probably cream de menthe, who knows, and I'll put it all into one bottle, right? That's really smart. I remember sitting on a hill drinking that with her, thinking that this was the worst thing you could ever do, until all of a sudden we were watching little tractors, or we were sitting on a hill and the tractors somehow started moving. Well, I know how they somehow did, but that feeling of just being out of body, I searched for the next 30 years. I wanted that until I finally got sober and realized that I never was going to fill it up. I had my last drink over in your neck of the woods, going under the Indian River Inlet off to go deep sea fishing at 5 a.m. and threw my beer can over the side of the boat and said I was done. And for some reason, God just took me from that scrap heap of just being from the depths of despair of alcoholism, and has changed my life today to be something more miraculous than I could ever envision in my whole life. And a large part of it is because you guys took care of me before I even knew that I needed to take care of myself, before I knew that God was taking care of me all along. You guys were there holding my hands, just saying, keep coming back and you're okay. We're exactly right where you are. The reason I'm late tonight is I just did a group fifth step. Okay. I'm in a step study group, and we just did a sex inventory with five other people. Now you want to talk about humility. That was really quite an experience. And then to get told I'm late on this call, I'm really kind of a little bit nervous anyhow, but you know, that's why we have the 10 step, right? 10th step, continued to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You know, we're at step 10 now, and we've done a lot of work to get there, you know, and it's all been action steps. First three steps, I can't, he can, I'll let him. Really are identifying in and realizing that I have got no power, and that God has all that power, and I need to plug into him somehow. And how do I do that? I have to clear away the wreckage of my past, right? So I have to go through the fourth and fifth step, and then I have to really ask him to remove my character defects, and finally understanding that I can't do anything about them, that I have to give them to him, and he on a daily basis can remove them or not. And then start making amends to people. And then we get to step 10, and it says, you know, we vigorously commence as we're cleaning up the past. So it doesn't say that we do all of our amends and then we work into step 10. As soon as we start making amends, I have my sponsors, I was told, you start doing 10 steps. And I never really understood 10 steps. I mean, I've been around the program for a while. And I thought, you know, okay, you know, if I felt a little uncomfortable, I might say, I'm sorry. I would go, oh God, I shouldn't have done that. But I never really understood the 10th step, that it really was a continuation of steps 4 through 9 that I really had to do on a daily basis. I had to continue. And really, if you look at it, I have gotten, because I have, you know, found my God and found a moral compass, I really have a new code that they talk about, saying that now we have love and tolerance as our code, right? So when I do things that really don't fit, I feel that. There's something in me that just goes, this is not right. You know, back in the doctor's opinion, it talks about we can watch other people eat or drink with impunity, right? I have punity. I don't think that's a word, but it's my word, that other people can drink, they can cheat on their taxes, they can lie to people, they can do what they want, and they can get away with it. And I can watch those people. I can't do that because I have a moral compass today. So I need step 10 to continue to look at where I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or resentful, or fearful of something, or just disturbed. It doesn't matter what it is. I have to look at that. And then the writers of the big book so masterfully just had us do steps 4 through 9 very quickly on a very continually basis of just saying, okay, what did I do wrong? Let's go through the inventory and say, what was my part? Because whenever I have a disturbance, I'm the one that has to change. It doesn't matter what anybody did to me, I'm the one who doesn't feel right, right? So I'm the one who has to make that change. So I have to do the inventory, and then I have to do steps 6 and 7 and ask God to remove that shortcoming. And I have to discuss it with somebody else, because again, I can't fix myself. I mean, my thinking got me to where I am, right? So I can't fix it. I need to go someplace else. So I have to share it with somebody else, which is step 5. And then resolutely turn your attention to somebody else and make amends if necessary, or get out of yourself and start talking to somebody else. So step 10 to me means all of those things, that is really working the program on a daily basis. Step 1 through 9 really was the work to get us to continue to work the program on a daily basis in 10, 11, and 12. And 10 is the cornerstone for me, because if I don't keep my side of the street clean, I get blocked from God. And when I get blocked from God, that ism gets really loud. And if I don't do anything with it, drinking looks like a step up, and I can't afford that today, because I have got a moral compass and I've got a relationship with God that I wouldn't change with anything. So I don't know if I talked too long or too little, but I'm going to turn it over to my counterpart. And again, I apologize for being late today. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you, Nancy. Al?
All right. Al Alcoholic. Sobriety date is May 5th, 1987. AA works, it really does. I'm the type of personality sitting in AA that I had to have the steps presented to me in a concrete fashion so I could be able to grab a hold of them. And I bumped into the original Joe and Charlie in late 1988, and it changed my life. And since then, I've had a lot of other influences in my life on these steps to show me the specific directions in the big book and how to take these steps. The short form of the steps is on the wall. The long form is in the big book. And I was illiterate, did not know how to read the big book, and you taught me how to do it. Having said that, I've never been perfect at any of this stuff. I've fallen short more than I've gotten up sometimes. You know, I've done every character defect you can think of in sobriety. I've been dishonest and justified it. I've been resentful and justified it. I've been full of fear. I've been full of selfishness. And I have been able to come out a better person after those bouts with those character defects. There's nothing wasted in God's economy. And sometimes you need ego puncturing to embrace humility. And that's what Bill was writing about. There's no garbage here. There's no crap here. There's no dressed up trash can. We go through things and we turn ourselves outward to our fellows after those bouts that we go through sometimes in life. This is not preventative medicine other than the idea that I've had a total release from the obsession to drink alcohol. I've had a total release from that. It has not come back in many years. Oh, every once in a while, something trickles in, but it doesn't stay long. The rest of the character defects, I've not been able to, it's not been prevented for me. It's been corrected. That after I've done it, I've been able to correct it through this process. And for me, this process very much involves active, strong, effective sponsorship. That sponsor is highly active in Alcoholics Anonymous and highly active in working with other drunks. That's what I've needed. I know that that's not what everybody else in AA needs. I've needed a strong home group that is in 3 legacies. I've needed a lot of alcoholics around me, and I've needed a lot of extra meetings other than my home group. I'm a little delinquent, as you can tell. I love the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It makes total sense to me. And so in the third step decision, which I call the conditions of surrender, if you read that from page 60 to 64, it shows that complete surrender that we need to make. That's almost impossible for a guy like me, but it's sitting there and it's sitting in my lap, and I'm always looking. And when I make that decision, then I'm going to start to carry out steps 4 through 9 and start to put my life in 10, 11, and 12. And in this step of step 10, that was already said, steps 4 through 9 is so important that he stuck them in steps 10, 11, and 12. In 12, we get to give it away to another alcoholic, our experience. They're so important. And so what I look at in this step is, that I've entered the world of the spirit now. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And how I've grown in understanding and effectiveness is I've made a lot of mistakes in sobriety. And there's no way around that for a lot of us. You're going to make mistakes in sobriety. And what AA's taught me, I got to own up to those mistakes, that I can't afford secrets. And sometimes I've justified secrets in sobriety off of resentments and my need to be right. But I've had to spit it out. Because what happens in AA is you keep this stuff up in your face all the time, meeting after meeting, sponsor, helping other people, you spit it out. That's what happens. And that's what happens for me is I spit it out. I get it back out in the open. I correct it. I go and make amends. I share on myself. And you know what? I've found out through the depressive moments that I've had in sobriety that I relinquish and I embrace a new relationship with steps 6 and 7. I have an entirely different relationship today with 6 and 7 that maybe I had 5 years ago, certainly 10 or 15 years. It's not the same relationship. It's like these steps grow inside of you and they become part of who you are, even though I can't embrace any perfection in them. I can spit out the directions to you because I need to know them. But in my own life, I don't always live up to them. That's just the reality. You know, I fall short quite a bit. And I'm sober a long time, and I'm okay with that. My first sponsor told me, once you accept that you're screwed up, you're going to be a lot happier. In AA, we're going to teach you not to always act like you're screwed up. And that's been the challenge for me. I'll pass with that.
All right. Thank you, Al. All right, folks, I'll put up and read the next section, section 2, page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, Sandy will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. All right, Nancy.
Okay. God. Wow. 10-step promises. Those are pretty cool. We get two sets of promises or two promises in these couple of paragraphs, which is really kind of neat to be able to talk about. You know, every morning I wake up, I know that I'm a miracle. And every time I talk to somebody in the program, I know I'm talking to a miracle. Because from where I came from where people I know in the program came from, to where we are today, it's a miracle. And it's because we stay in fit spiritual condition. Now, am I a saint? Hell no, I'm nowhere near that. And as Al so, you know, well stated that, you know, I mess up all the time, but I continue to try to grow. I continue to try and do my best and right my wrongs so that these promises do come true. You know, cease fighting anyone or anything. That's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? And when I think of anything, you know, that includes myself, that includes alcohol, but alcohol is only part of it, really. It's really my whole demeanor. It's really every blockage that always was such a big deal to me, that always consumed my thoughts because it was in my way of me, of my ism and what I needed to make myself feel whole, right? To make myself feel important because I was the most important, ego, prideful person you could ever meet. I mean, other people say that about themselves. I think I have the corner on that market. But really being able to say that it doesn't matter anymore. As long as I am right with my fellows, especially my fellows in AA and with my family, I've got a chance. I've got a chance of not picking up a drink today and staying in fit spiritual condition and listening for what God wants me to be. I mean, I like to ask for things, or I would like my life to be a certain way, but I realize that I have no leg to stand on in asking that. Is what I need to do is be open to God's love and mercy and be able to hear what he wants me to do and be of service to him. And I can put out my agenda every day all I want, but is what I really need to do is say, okay, you know, now what's yours? Tell me, put my feet in the right direction and just let me be your conduit for the day. I think that I heard somebody recently in a meeting take a look at the sentence that we recoil from liquor as from a hot flame, and that if we flip back in the book to there is a solution, and talking about before we are into the steps, you know, we're really just talking about step one and step two, that it says that we continue to put our hand on that stove, that hot stove, that we think it's going to be different this time. It's not going to burn us. You're not going to get it. We don't have the tools. We don't have those steps 4 through 9 in between us to let us recoil from a hot flame. Now we're living in the realm of the spirit. We're in fit spiritual condition. So that doesn't happen to us anymore because God is protecting us. We're in God's care and God's love and mercy. So we don't have to keep touching that, waiting for, you know, the insanity. I was so insane, or I am so insane, if I don't work these steps and show up at meetings and share what I'm thinking with other people. If I don't do that, I'm not in fit spiritual condition. I'll start touching that flame again. I'll start thinking, this time it's not going to burn me. You know, that's what kept me drinking for so long, is because I was expecting different results, doing the same thing over and over again. And now the promise is that I recoil from it, you know, and I'm placed in a position of neutrality. If anybody ever told me when I walked in and saw those 12 steps on the wall and the keep coming back and all that other stuff that I wouldn't care about drinking, I'd be like, are you crazy? I didn't know how to like really finish my breakfast without a can of beer, much less, you know, mow a lawn or go out to a lunch or try to soft shell crab or anything. I always had a beer in my hand. You know, if you look at my pictures growing up in grade school and high school, I always had something in my hand because I didn't know anything else to do other than to drink, to try and feel part of and try to feel accomplished, try to feel okay in my skin. And the thought of having a neutrality around liquor and having it not even part of my daily thoughts just is amazing to me. It's amazing to go to functions and not even think about drinking, that it's just not an option for me anymore because I'm in a position of neutrality and I'm safe and protected because my creator is watching over me. You guys are watching over me. Every day that I go to a meeting, I've done my footwork to stay sober for another day because I've gotten my shot in the arm of everyone else who thinks exactly like me and has the same propensities to be able to say, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, just go on with your day and you're going to be fine because you've shared what's in your head rather than keeping it up there to let it get all gnarled up. Sanely and normally, I don't know if I'm ever going to be sane and normal, but at least I can function among the rest of the world. When I show up, I can be a rational person. And that's all because of God, the God of my understanding and the fellowship of AA that has kept me safe and protected. The problem that I had was always myself. It was a buildup of human emotions, you know, and that's why the 10th step is important, so that I get rid of those human emotions instead of keeping them in my head. And once I start with one little thing, you know, I talked to a sponsee who had a slip today or slip yesterday, and she said, you know, I really didn't want to tell you. And I was like, you know what? It just all starts there. You can keep your days counting. You can do whatever you want. But as soon as that one little lie starts, the next one goes on top and the next one goes on top and the next one goes on top. And, you know, you're down in gutter alley and having to crawl back out if you have another chance. I mean, I don't know if I've got another sobering up in my life. I don't think I do. I don't want to chance it. But I have to keep working 10, 11, and 12 if I'm going to have a chance not to have to worry about that. And that's cleaning house, keeping my emotions in check, and keeping it level and a clear path to my creator. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, Al.
All righty. So in our book, it talks about this is a design for living that really works. And I always like to add that if it doesn't become a design for giving, then we may not be able to keep our seat. One of the problems that I have as an alcoholic is my giver is. And I've got to learn how to give myself to Alcoholics Anonymous. And one thing that Bill talked about early on that I think is one of the greatest descriptions of surrender that we have is completely give ourselves to this simple program. And completely, we all know what that word means, completely. No strings attached, completely. And so these steps now in 10, 11, and 12 are the greatest relapse prevention program in the world, bar none. And it's going to give us the problem, these promises throughout this, and it was touched upon, is that I'm a daily drinker, I'm a morning drinker, I'm a dark oblivion drinker, and now I have a total release from the obsession to drink alcohol. A total release. The obsession is removed, and that's the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what it says. That's the miracle. It just comes. I get that release. For an alcoholic like me, that's something that I don't want to take for granted. Ever to forget that I woke up today free from alcohol, and I'm going to go to bed free from alcohol. Problem is, I'm not free from me. And these steps here are going to address me and my character defects and my human emotions. And I always like to say there are alcoholic emotions, and the alcoholic emotions are extremes. You know, get extreme in the emotions. You know, my non-alcoholic friends, when they talk about being angry, it's not like how I feel inside. I mean, it's like an extreme. And so, you know, it talks about that we resolutely turn our thoughts to other people, even after this process, that it's always turning me outside, because alcoholism goes inside. And one of my problems is disconnect. It's isolation. And what the steps do, there's a great connector to God, and there's a great connector, I think, first to other alcoholics and then to the world around us. I have to connect with to take that out. If I don't connect with another alcoholic, it's hard for me to get connected. And this is a connector. And then it tells us, you know, that love and tolerance is our code. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of people can get on my nerves depending on the day. And what you had taught me is that it's not my job to straighten anybody out. And that love and tolerance doesn't have to be an emotion or a feeling. It needs to be an action. And then I got it, because I was looking for it to be a feeling and an emotion all the time. And I fell short because I had a judgmental machine. And they said, well, no, this is how you're going to act towards people. And what Wilson started to come about in the 10th step in the 12 and 12 was that he brought up five times within almost a page that a top priority rating would be self-restraint. You know, is that, and what I like to say is, don't punch the hornet's nest because it stings. Leave that alone. Give it some time and come back to it. If you get right into it, you're going to punch the hornet's nest. It's going to sting you. So we have self-restraint in personal relationships. Wilson talked about the 10th step in the 12 and 12, the emotional hangover. Now, we already looked at that: selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those excesses can cause emotional hangover. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to put these steps into practice in 10, 11, and 12, and meetings. Meetings are so important in this process, so I don't forget, you know, because if I get away from you in the meetings, I start to forget this stuff pretty, okay? And it's going to address that in the next paragraph. So what I do is I get a relief from the obsession to drink, but I don't get a relief from me. And I need to keep my mind not on myself, but on how, you know, I really like this. I don't know if you ever watched Mr. Rogers, but the new movie brought that up back. And Mr. Rogers used to say something that always look for the helpers. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, look for the givers. Look for the helpers. Look for the people that are helping out other alcoholics. And that's what their primary purpose is. And latch on to them. Because tough times are going to come in sobriety. It's part of life. And make sure that you're there. You're in that center when it comes. And you know, you're not going to blow out. You're not going to blow away. You're going to stay with us, you know. And up to this date, I've got to tell you that I had never planned to take a drink of alcohol. I've had a thought come in and out pretty quickly, but I had never planned to take a drink of alcohol. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm powerless over alcohol. And if I get that conversation in my mind, hey, Al, good day to drink. No, you shouldn't drink. Yeah. Okay. No, don't. I'm going to lose in that conversation. That conversation has to be plucked out of my mind, and I can't restore myself to sanity. God restores ourselves to sanity through the step process, the fellowship process, everything we throw at it. Because I'm incapable of restoring myself to sanity. I'm incapable of releasing that obsession from my mind. This is one of the powerful things of Alcoholics Anonymous. We get a release from that obsession. Now, I'm going to, since she brought this up, and I'll shut up with this, is that I work with people that relapse, and I've got a guy I really like. I'm close to him. He's close to me. I've worked with him for years. He gets 3 years, he drinks. He gets a year and a half, he drinks. I think the most he's ever had is 5. And, you know, he calls me up, and there's no punishment to that. I don't have to read him. How, let's go back through the, you know, I don't, let's just have our relationship, okay? And he called me up. He said, can I come and visit you tomorrow? I said, of course you can come visit. And if he wants to talk about steps, we'll talk about steps. If he doesn't want to talk about it, he doesn't have. If he wants to talk about God, we'll talk about God all day long. I love talking. But if he doesn't want to, you know, is that we have those relationships with people without conditions to them, that we can practice love and tolerance, and we don't have to punish people because they don't live up to the mark. You know, that's one of the beautiful things here. We can embrace people in their own defects. And I mean, he's a miserable guy. And he told me today, he says, you know, I'm sick of drinking. I'm sick of drinking. I said, I'm glad you're sick of drinking. That's a beginning. So why don't you come on over? We'll have a cup of coffee. I'll have a water, and we'll just sit here and we'll talk. You know, it's, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous is a beautiful thing when we embrace it. And I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Al. I'll put the next reading up. Section 3, page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of actions and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activity. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. All right, Nancy.
Oh, wow. Program of action and resting on your laurels. You know, I've been in this program for a couple of 24 hours, and I got to tell you, the first time that I went through the steps, when I got to step 10, I rested on my laurels. I did all the hard work. You know, I had done a step 4 and 5 and thought I had gotten rid of all my character defects, of course, and, you know, did amends, which were hard. I needed to rest, right? So you start resting. And then I can sleep in and not make this meeting. And, you know, I did coffee last month. I don't need to do coffee this month. I don't need to call and check in on people. As soon as those things start coming, I'm resting on my laurels, but I am not. You know, it really says here that that's exactly when my disease starts talking to me, because it keeps telling me it's okay to stay in bed. It's okay to do 3 meetings instead of 7 meetings a week. It's okay to do 2 meetings, you know, because the third one was really an inconvenience, and it was just a speaker's meeting. You didn't really need to go to that. And, you know, why do you need to even go to meetings? You know, just call people and you'll be okay. That is my ism that comes in. I might not have picked up a drink, folks, but I was really not in sound mind and body. I mean, I was a dry drunk for a couple of years because I did. I moved from the East Coast to Ann Arbor, and in Washington, D.C., you could find a meeting a minute. I mean, anywhere you went, you could find a meeting all day long. I moved out here, and the book was like teeny, eeny, eeny, and they'd have like 2 meetings a day, and they were at really weird times for me because I'm a morning person. So I got resentful and I stopped going. I just was like, I'll stay in touch with my people in DC. And I got rocky. I mean, God kept me sober. I did not pick up a drink, but boy, I had a couple of years where I was not in fit spiritual condition at all and not working this program. And when I came back in and really got somebody who walked me through the big book to that point where I understand the big book, and like Al said earlier, you know, the short form's on the wall and really it's living it and understanding it is in the big book. You know, and it says that we must carry this vision of God's will into all of our activities. Once I got the steps, once I found that open conduit to a higher power, I had to give it away. Because if I don't, if I hold it on to myself, I start talking to myself and that ism starts getting really loud and I start identifying out rather than start identifying in. And like Al said, you know, emotions trump intellect every time. I'm going to do the wrong decision. I'm going to make the wrong decision. If I haven't been close to people that understand what I'm talking about, understand the way that I think. You know, and it says every day, it doesn't say that some days, it doesn't say, you know, Monday through Fridays or the day I go to meeting, it says every day I need to reach out and help somebody else. I have to be of service to somebody in or out of the program, but I can't be, if I stay in my own head, that's when I get in trouble. And Bill so masterfully wrote this whole program to say, you know, when we're in our own cup, an alcoholic in his cups is an unfriendly sight. Well, an alcoholic in Nancy's brain is an unfriendly sight. I have to be there out of myself talking to other people. And if it's for 5 minutes, man, I've saved myself agony for 5 minutes. And it says we have to do that. It doesn't say you should do it. It says we must carry that vision of God's will into all of our activities. So it's a warning. It's saying, if you don't do that, if you don't give service, if you don't really carry that message, that it's a warning that there's that chatter in your mind is going to start getting louder and louder and louder. And I know that alcohol is right there, ready to grab me anytime it can. If I do not continue to do steps 10, 11, and 12, I'm going to be in trouble. And I think that thinking all throughout the day, it was not easy for me to learn how to really pause and say, you know, God, what am I supposed to do? Or just not respond immediately, to wait and let God come into that conversation and just maybe handle it a little bit different, or think a different thought, or decide not to say anything at all. I never had that pause button. And man, that pause button is a gift from God that I will take every day. And it's that 1 second that I have that connection to say, I can do something different here and I can do the right thing rather than the Nancy. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nancy. Okay, Al.
Alrighty. So it is easy. And it took me a long time to see that word easy, to where it just stuck out, because we read it in meetings a lot. It's easy to let up on the program. It's easy to let up, you know. And then one day I saw it, easy. We lose a lot of people because it's easy. No question. It's easy. It's a no-brainer. And consequences bring you to Alcoholics Anonymous, but they don't keep you. What keeps you in Alcoholics Anonymous to me is service. And what Dr. Bob said was love and service. And I think love and service is an extension of a relationship with a higher power, because I think God is everything about love and God is everything about service. And I really think that Dr. Bob certainly didn't say that, but I certainly think if he was here today, we could have that conversation. He might agree with us. And again, I'm going to state that I have a broken giver inside of me, because I'm too selfish and I'm too self-centered, and I've got to learn how to give. First of all, to my alcoholics as a primary purpose, and after that, the world at large. Every day is a day that I can do service in my life, both to Alcoholics Anonymous and the world at large. But my primary purpose is you first and then the world. You know, sometimes AA becomes very mechanical in sobriety. It's just you go to a meetings and you call your sponsor and you say your prayers in the morning and you read. You know, it's just a mechanical process, and that's pretty normal and natural. I wouldn't get my knickers out of twist with that. I got a guy in slash. Oh my God, it feels so mechanical. I said, just wait. The wonderful thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is that your relationship with Alcoholics Anonymous will shift and change for the better. The same AA that you walked into is not going to be the same AA that you sit in every 5 or 3 or 10 years later. AA will have a different personality to you. It will change for the better. You will have more depth and understanding within the process. I heard a guy one time share that he was 15 years sober and he's not sure he had dented AA yet. And I thought, oh my God, I'm only 5. I thought I was really in here. Well, some of us are familiar with Chuck Chamberlain, who wrote A New Pair of Glasses. And he said, you can't think yourself into right living. You got to act yourself into right thinking. I think that's the whole program of AA with love and service, all of this stuff together. It's an action program. And so it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. And what they told me, a guy like you needs commitments to meetings, not just go to meetings, because life's going to come and visit. And when you have a commitment, it's different than going to it. Is that you have a job in that meeting and they function just like a home group. Yet you only have a voice in one group. That's your home group and your business meeting. But the other groups, we want you to do stuff in also. So when the pandemic came on the online meetings, I found myself in 6 committed meetings a week that I could get a speaker, or I could do this, or I could do that, or people would ask me for help. We started 2 groups. We got AA Comes of Age on Wednesday night that we are just killing it with the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Monday night's a 3 Legacy group. Tuesday night's a home group that's live, and Thursday night got a meeting in Minnesota, and then other people asked me to help them with speakers or talks or whatever. So I'm very engaged. I had to become very engaged in that process online to replicate what I was doing live. I got to tell you, committed meetings really saved my bacon, because when I started talking myself out of the meeting, I'm too tired and too busy. My grand sponsor, Clancy, would come in my head and say, yeah, we're all too busy. We're too tired. Get to the meetings. And because I had the service commitment to the literature table, the coffee, the greeter, the setup, the breakdown, it brought me to the meeting when my mind wanted to keep me at home. Sometimes I believe that's the difference right here, is in a committed, where I have a service commitment in those meetings versus, hey, I'm just going to go to the meeting tonight or not. What's going to prevent me on some nights when I'm tired, I'm distracted, I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life, just to say, hey, I'm not going tonight. One of the incredible things about meetings, this is the spiritual, where it's not logical sometimes. Oh, I've got 100 things to do. Oh my God, I have to stay home. I've got 100 things to do tonight. I got to get the laundry. Got to get blah, 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 blah. So I skip the meeting and I don't get anything done. And then I worry why I didn't go to the meeting. But when I go to the meeting, I have 100 million things to do. After the meeting, I have the energy. I come home and do the 100 million things. It doesn't make any sense. It's easy to let on spiritual program of action. And we see a lot of casualties in Alcoholics Anonymous of people that drink again. You know, relapse is not part of recovery. It's part of the illness. And it's part of our, it's part of the sickness of alcoholism. Now, what we have is a daily reprieve contingent upon our spiritual maintenance. I used to ask my sponsor, hey, I want to balance my life. He said, how can you balance your life if you can't manage your life? He said, consistency in meetings day in and day out, and the home group, and calling your sponsor and doing all these things, you'll end up with a life you won't even have to figure it out. And see, I needed that kind of stuff because it anchored me. And you said there's nothing here to figure out. There's only things to do. And when you do things, you get better. Trying to figure them out, then you're just trying to overthink stuff. So one of my favorites is right here. We're really getting into the meat and potatoes. Is every day is a day. I like how Wilson put that. Every day is a day that we carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. It says all, every activity. Okay. So what's the vision of God's will? Is it something me to figure out? Can't figure it out. So it says, how can I best serve you? There it is. The broken giver is starting to get addressed. How can I best serve you? Yeah. In unhappiness, happiness. Depression, anger, fear, broken relationships, unhappiness, happiness, success. How can I best serve? Your will, not mine, be done. I no longer had to figure out God's will anymore because I couldn't figure it out. I just need to ask, how can I best serve you? Your will, not mine, be done. And I've now turned myself from a taker to a giver. And the third step is talking about turning our life and our will over. Now it says that this is the proper use of the will. We've completed the statement from the third step. This is the proper use of the will. That helped me out tremendously. There was nothing to figure out anymore. There was only to serve. How can I best serve you? Your will, not mine, be done. It's pretty good for a self-centered human being like me. I'll pass with that.
Wow.
Thank you, Al. I will put up our last section for the evening. Section 4. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further, and that means more action. Nancy?
Wow, I don't know if I can go after Al's last one. You just taught me a ton of stuff, Al. Thank you very, very much for your share. You know, God is the strength, inspiration, and direction. You know, he gives that to me on a daily basis. And I've gotten that because it did follow the directions in this book. You know, the 12 steps are up on the wall. We can't pick and choose. It can't be a cafeteria kind of thing because you skip one and you don't get the message. You know, it was very clear on how this had to be done. But once you get that, once I got that, the flow of something started to go through me, just like it says here in this promise that you really are starting to feel that flow and feel like a sixth sense. And that's that giver. That's the putting it into action. That's giving it away so that I keep it. I have to be fresh with this stuff. That's why I need to sponsor. That's why we all need to sponsor, why we all need to share at meetings and show up even when you don't want to, Al, like you said, that it's so important because that's where the flow comes and it continues to go. If I start isolating or if I start resting on my laurels, I don't get that flow. That flow, all of a sudden, that hole gets very small and it's blocked. And until I can really go through a lot of redoubling my efforts in the steps, I'm not going to get there. I like the fact that this is a nice dovetail into step 11 because I do need to stay in conscious contact with God. You know, those morning and evening and day long prayers, the pauses are just instrumental to me if I want that flow to continue. But the flow doesn't work unless I've got somebody to give it to. So this was really an excellent exercise for me. I've learned an awful lot. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Nancy. Al?
All right. So I have it. Now I have it so I can see it. The last thing we talked about is how can I best serve you? Your will not. These thoughts must go with us constantly. So in this step, it's going to talk about constantly and continue. And why at the constantly? Because constantly self is coming up. Okay. It's just a part of it. Self is in here. It's part of what God developed, gave us. There is a sense of ego. There's a sense of self. We call an AA self-obsession, which I kind of like. And I have to remind myself constant that this is your will, not mine, be done. How can I best serve you? Because it's easy to forget in the daily march in life with all the other stuff coming up. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It's the proper use of it. Before that, I was using it improperly. Now, by serving God and serving others, which is one and the same, I can use the proper use of the will. I can start to treat the broken giver in me. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and there's that word, direction. Okay. People sometimes get complicated. This is a set of directions. You can't tell me what to do. We didn't say orders. We said directions. It's two different words. Look them up. And I needed a set of directions in my life. So often do we hear an AA, and I understand it. And certainly if that's what helps people, I wouldn't want to disagree with it. But they'll say, get out of the driver's seat. Well, I don't think God wants me to get out of the driver's seat. My problem isn't the seat I'm sitting in. It's the directions I've been following. I think God wants me to follow his directions and not me so I don't crash into the tree. That's what I was doing in my life. It wasn't the seat I was sitting in. It was the set of directions I was following. That was my problem. And I was following me. And that was the problem. I didn't consider God or consider other people. And so from him who has all knowledge and power, he says, huh? All knowledge and power. Bill's very descriptive about God in this textbook. You know, if we have carefully followed, there it is again, directions. So we do have directions to the steps. We're not asking for perfection, but try to follow them. Then this starts happening. Now, for me, when I took the steps off the wall, I had an off the wall program. I didn't have this experience. I didn't know about it because I had an off the wall program. When I got into the book Alcoholics Anonymous, I had an entirely different experience than I did on the opinion of the speaker. I took some from that. I took some from the wall. You know, I took some from the group over here. I took some from the 12 and 12. I'm not anti 12 and 12. I like the book. And I pieced together what I thought were the steps. And they said, Al, that was your program. Why don't you try our program? It's outlined in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was a big difference. It was a different impact on my life, totally up to today. It's a totally different impact. We begin to sense the flow of his spirit into us. Now, how often do you go to a meeting, you're not feeling so good, and after the meeting, you feel better? Hey, you don't feel so good. You talk to your sponsor. You got the chemistry. You feel better. You think about God, letting go and letting God to some worrisome problem that you just are entrenched with. And okay, God, I'm going to let go. I'm going to let you take this. Please have this. I can't handle it. Not too good with it. And somewhere within the hour or two, there's a relief. I mean, where else do you get that? I get that in Alcoholics Anonymous. I sense the flow of his spirit into us, not just me. It's a we program. We generate this, the chemistry of one alcoholic talking to another. To some extent, we become God conscious. There we go. Bingo. And Wilson's going to stay on that train of thought as a God conscious, because I'm very self-conscious. And he's talking about God conscious. And he's going to talk about helping others too, conscience of other people. This is the great connector, because I'm disconnected and I can go into isolation. And AA through the fellowship and the steps and everything we throw at it in relationship with God keeps us connected. I got to stay connected. And you're the connector. And it gets me connected to God. It gives me God consciousness. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further. And that means more action. So he's not going to let us off the hook. We got this tremendous step that we just went over. It's incredible. We could talk about it for hours and hours and hours. He says, wait a second. Good stuff. But wait, we got some more stuff to do, okay? And what I'm going to set you up through in 10, 11, 12, I'm going to set you up to be a giver. And when we get to working with others, as we get through these chapters, we're going to really see about this thing. This thing is absolutely incredible. And people say, I don't know how it works or why it works. Of course you do. God invented it. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And our path is created by steps. And when we take the steps and we follow them in sequence with a set of directions, we get results in our life that we didn't get them when we tried other
paths. Thank you, Al. Well, folks, that will finish the reading for this evening. Earlier, David posted the link to Simple Actions PayPal in the chat in observance of the seventh tradition. Our Commonwealth offers to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Alcoholic David.
Hey, David.
This weekend, starting Friday, is the Virginia Assembly. You know, your GSRs are going to go, but any alcoholic is welcome to attend the Virginia Assembly. You don't have to have a service position. They like you to register. That information's at aavirginia.org or see me after the. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hand. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us or email info@simpleactions.net. And in closing, I would like to say thanks to everyone that's participated. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Al. And I'll unmute everybody after the Lord's Prayer so everybody can say thank you to our panel this evening. And I've asked Amy to read a vision for you, and I will put that up on the screen. Sorry, Amy has volunteered. Let me clarify. Thank you.
Am I unmuted?
You are unmuted.
Okay. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right. Thank you, Amy. And we'll close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. And David, would you be so kind as to allow everybody to unmute or unmute everyone?
Everyone can unmute at will.
All right. Thank you, sir. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
The power and the glory. Forever and ever.
Amen.
Wow.